listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Let's look in our Bibles at Luke chapter 19, verse 12. And here's a story, and this is going to help us to be blessed. It says this: "Therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered them to them 10 minas, and said to them, 'Do business until I come.' But his citizens..." "But his citizens sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We do not want this man to reign over us.' And so it was, when he returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded those servants to whom he had given money to come to him, that he might now know how much every man had gained by trading." So in other words, he gives the 10 men money, tells them, "Do business while I'm gone." And then whenever he gets back, he calls them together and wants to know how they did on their trading. This sounds a whole lot like Wall Street, not a lot like the Bible, right? But here's what he says. "Then came the first, saying, 'Master, your mina has earned 10 minas.' And he said to him, 'Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities.' And the second came to him, saying, 'Master, your mina has earned 5 minas.' Likewise, he said to him, 'You also be over 5 cities.' Then another came to him, saying, 'Master, here is your mina, which I've kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you do not deposit and reap what you do not sow.' And he said to him, 'Out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those who stood by, 'Take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas.' That doesn't seem fair to me. But they said to him, 'Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine.'" Let me say something to you today. I believe God wants to bless each and every one of us. But I believe there's a prerequisite on that blessing. See, I honestly don't think God is going to bless every single person. I think he wants to bless every single person, but I don't think he's going to bless every single person. And here's the reason why. Just like in that story, God gave out, the man, the king, gave out the money and expected the people to do good things with it. He expected the people to not just hold on to it, but to invest it, to make it fruitful and to multiply it. And then he blessed those that obeyed. See, I believe God wants to bless people that are good stewards. Everybody say the word steward. Steward's a word we don't really use a whole lot, but it's a good word to understand. A steward is somebody that takes care of something that's not their own, right? How many of you have ever let a friend borrow one of your tools? Any of my friends in here, my men in here? And some of the ladies, let's say, yes, I let people borrow my tools too. You let somebody borrow your tools. How many of you, does it just make you really, really mad when they bring that tool back broken or dirty, right? And then do you ever want to let them borrow that tool again? No, you do not. No, you do not. Some of y'all are like, yes, I would, because I'm holy. I am not that holy. You break my stuff, you break your chance to get it again. And so it's important for us to understand that we've got to be good stewards. I've not always been a good steward. I wish I could be, but I'm not a babysitter. And one time Pastor Shane let me borrow his kids so they can come over to my house and play with my kids. And all the kids were running around playing. You know what I was doing? I was sitting on the couch watching them run by me, because I was like, this is crazy. It's like living in a zoo. And so, because he's got 3 kids and I've got 3 kids, and everything was just wild and nuts. So a little while passed, and all, like, 5 kids come running past me. And I look down at the window, and there is Pastor Shane's youngest daughter, Karis, standing at the window outside my front door looking in. And so, me being the good babysitter that I am, it was 4 kids. She was 4 years old at the time. And she's looking through there, and me being the good babysitter that I am, I hollered at the other kids to go let her in, right? And so the other kids, from the time they came out of the room to downstairs to open the door, when they opened the door, Karis was gone. And they said, "We don't know where she is." And I said, "Well, she's got to be right here somewhere. You know, just go look for her." And they came back in. "We don't know where she is." At this point, I'm getting a little bit concerned. Perry is about to manifest a demon. She's getting so mad at me at this point. She's like, "Go find her." You know, whenever Perry has that voice, it's like, okay, obviously I need to go do something. And so I go outside and I'm looking for her and I'm trying to be calm. I'm like, "Look, she's got to be right here somewhere." And so I'm walking around the house. I can't find her. And Perry says, "Go to the neighbors," start looking around. So I'm knocking on doors and I go down. Karis had somehow ended up five doors down, just walking from house to house, knocking on doors, trying to find our house. I don't know how she didn't figure out that the one she's looking in the window whenever she saw me right there. I don't know what made her think that wasn't our house, but five doors down, somebody else picked her up and kidnapped. No, I'm just kidding. Picked her up. Y'all are like, "What?" And started walking her back down, and we found her, and we got her, and we brought her back down to the house, and I called Shane, and I said, "Listen, number one, everything's okay." And he was like, "All right, now I know there's a problem." And I said, "It may be that your daughter talks about getting lost for a little while. Don't believe her, okay?" And well, the point is, Pastor Shane has never let me babysit his kids again. That's really the point. The reason is I'm not a good steward of other people's kids, right? God wants us to be good stewards, to be a good steward. God gives you money. You may say, "Well, God didn't give me any money. You haven't seen my paycheck." The fact that you're here today means you had something. Somebody had some money to get you here because you had to have gas or a vehicle. You didn't just levitate and show up today. So somebody got you money. Maybe you're saying, "I work for my money." God got you the job that you're performing right now to be able to get money. Some of you say, "Well, I work two or three jobs." He got you all two or three of them. I know people can't get one job, and some of y'all have two or three jobs. I'm just saying God gives us stuff, and we've got to be good stewards of it if we want him to bless us. And that's the one thing I don't think we get a lot of times in church is people in church either A, have the mentality of, "I've got to be poor to be a Christian, and that's stupid." Or B, they've got the mentality of, "If I'm a Christian, I'm going to get rich," and that's stupid too. We should say, "I'm a Christian, I can live a blessed life. How do I do that? I become a good steward." How do I become a good steward? I'm glad you asked me. Here's the thing. Psalm 112, verse 5. Now, the whole chapter of Psalm 112 is good and profitable, but we won't read all of it right now. Let's just look at verse 5. If you were to look at verses 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man." That's how the whole chapter starts. Blessed is the man. In other words, this is a chapter about a blessed man, and we all want to be blessed men and women. So verse 5 says this, "A good man," still talking about the same blessed man, "deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion." If you're underlining today or taking notes, you need to underline that thought right there, that a good man, a blessed man, guides his affairs. That word "guide" there means something. That word "guide" there means to take and to form, to nurture, to plan. Whenever I guide something, I direct it. How many of you guys have ever built a sandcastle at the beach? What do you always do to keep the water from destroying your sandcastle? You dig a moat, right? And then you direct, you know, little rivers off of the moat or whatever, because when that water comes in, you want it to flow different directions. When God blesses you financially, you need to be able to guide that finance, because I'm going to tell you something. Money is not the devil, and money is not God. Money is nothing. Money is nothing. Money is like water. It will go wherever it wants to go. So you must guide and direct. Just like the Bible says, a blessed man, a good steward, is going to guide and direct. What did the king tell the servants? He said, "Listen, do business, invest, take care of, make a plan." Nobody takes their finances and just goes willy-nilly and then comes out at the end of the day with lots of money. Nobody does that. They have to have a plan. If you read about people that are wealthy in America, most wealthy people in America, the vast majority of wealthy people, did not inherit their money. The vast majority of them earned their money, and they earned it and took care of it because they had a plan for it. We all love football in here, or at least most of us do. Let me tell you, let's talk about the SEC champs for a sec. I want to give you guys your due, Alabama fans. Y'all love it when I talk good about you. It doesn't happen very often. So, but look, if Alabama, as good of a team as they are, if they would have gone into the SEC championship and Nick Saban would have said, "All right, fellas, y'all just get out there and do it. You know, just go play, you know." And A.J. McCarron comes out and he's got his little wristband and Nick Saban says, "Oh, no, we're not doing wristbands today. We're not." And then the offensive coordinator gets out his playbook and Saban says, "No, close the playbook today. And Kirby, just put down your pad of paper and all your little charts, put all that away. Y'all just go play and just see what happens. Let's just see what happens today." Can I tell you, Georgia would have beaten them 1,000-0? Why? Because no matter how great you may be, you got to have a plan to make it work.
That's good.
You got to have a playbook. You got to have something to go by. You've got to know what you're doing. You got to know the plan. Saban has to tell his players exactly where to go. If a wide receiver doesn't know to run 10 yards and cut in, the quarterback will throw it over the middle while the wide receiver is going down the field. Miss him completely. Interception. Wish it would have happened. It didn't. The point is this. You got to have a plan. And we plan so many things in our life. I know people that plan out their kids' lives from you know, dawn till dusk. They've got a plan. You wake up, you got to do this at this time and go to school and do get home and go to baseball practice and get home from baseball, go to, you know, soccer practice, and you're doing this and that. And they've got all these plans. And yet when it comes to their finances, we don't have a plan. We don't have a plan. We just live paycheck to paycheck and just try and survive and see what happens. And then we wonder why God doesn't bless us. Because we have no channel, no plan, no system to put the finances that God wants to bless us with into. We take a handkerchief and wrap it up and hide it and expect God to bless it. And God says, "I'll take that away from you too. I'll give it to the guy that's got a plan." Let's look at four things that a plan does for us real quick. And then we'll be close to ending. Number one, the most important thing that a plan does for you is it gives your money purpose. A plan will give your money purpose. So if you're taking notes today, the number one thing is purpose. Y'all need to say this with me or repeat this after me. Say, every dollar, has a destiny. Every dollar has a destiny. Now, we all like to think that we have a destiny and a purpose, but we don't like to think about our dollars having destiny and purpose. But can I tell you something? Every single dollar. George here. George has a purpose. And if me, not being God, but being the Lord, the master over George, if I don't tell him his purpose, he wanders aimlessly through life, being spent on mints and gum and whatever he wants to be spent on. But he's got a purpose. He's got a destiny. He's got something he's supposed to do. And your job as a good steward, if you want to be blessed, is to give him a purpose. We think so often that dollars are worthless. And granted, they're not worth a whole lot anymore like they used to be. But can I tell you something? None of us were worth a whole lot either. And God still died for us and gave us a purpose and a destiny. And so we need to give our money a destiny today. We need to give it a purpose. And in giving it a purpose, the way you do that is you invest it. You invest it. Now, I know right now you're thinking of stocks and bonds. I'm not talking about stocks and bonds right now. We need to learn to invest our money. To invest means to deposit, to put it somewhere, to give it a purpose and put it in that purpose. You need to invest your dollars. Let me give you three quick things that you can invest your money in. You need to be investing your money. And number one, invest your money in the kingdom of God. Amen. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you." The first thing you need to invest your money in is the kingdom of God. So whenever you're writing out your financial plan, I don't want to say a budget. People don't like the word budget. But when you write out a financial plan, the first thing you need to do is write out tithe, giving, whatever the case is. If you don't have a whole lot of money, don't give a whole lot of money. Give your tithe and that's it. I mean, I'm just saying, don't come in here saying, well, I don't have enough money to pay for this and give to that. I'm not asking you to. I'm asking you to do what I do, and that is tithe. Now, I also give to missions, and we give to the church. There's other things we give to above and beyond our tithe. But the first thing we do is we purpose our money. We say, hey, you've got a purpose. Your first dollar goes to tithe. The second thing you need to invest in is you need to invest in your family. 1 Timothy 5:8 says a man that doesn't take care of his family is worse than an unbeliever. You are lower than low if you don't take care of your family. So number one, I want to invest my money into my church, the kingdom of God. The second thing I want to invest my money into is to my family. I want to make sure my family is taken care of. Now look, that doesn't mean that you're buying big screen TVs for every room. It's not taking care of your family. That might be spoiling your family, but it's not taking care of your family. To take care of your family means you pay the bills, you keep the lights on, you keep food on the table. Can I tell you something? That's way more important than anything else you want to do today. That's more important than new clothes and new shoes. That's more important than a nice hairdo. You want to know one of the reasons I've got this hairdo besides the fact that I'm going bald? Cheap. I already have a buzzer, a trimmer. I can go in the bathroom like I did this morning and shave my head. I miss it sometimes. I got a little side mohawk growing right here. But the fact is, it's free. Why? Because I would rather invest that money somewhere else. It's going to be funny. Next week, all the dudes are going to come in here with no hair. I had to buy some Christmas presents. Here we go. Ladies, I'm just going to say that's a good investment for most of you. Let's keep your hairdos going. That was mean of me. Just get a wig if you have to. Invest money into your family means taking care of your family. Take care of your family. Keep the lights on. Keep food on the table. Look, again, you don't have to do name brand stuff. You don't have to be extravagant. I know a lot of people that live great lives that don't have all the nicest stuff in the world. Pastor Shane was talking this morning to Gerald, and he was talking about wanting some $20 socks. Now, right off the bat, there's no way for me to sell this good. But I own a pair of $20 socks myself. But here's the thing. What's Shane doing? Shane is not going to take food out of the mouth of his children to buy socks. At the end of the day, he'll go to Walmart and he'll get him some old white Hanes, right? That's right. And he'll rock the white Hanes out. I remember whenever I was in master's commission being trained to go into the ministry, living off of $200 a month and had to eat on that and buy clothes on that. That's when I learned that thrift store shopping was some of the best shopping in the world. I don't know about you, but I love to hit the thrift stores. You hit the thrift stores at the right time in the right places. You get a thrift store around Mountain Brook or something, you're going to come out there with some fine clothes, right? I've come out with some name brand stuff, brand new. Some rich guy bought it, didn't want it, and gave it to the thrift store. Thank you very much. I'll put that on. I don't care if it's $5. I'll wear it. Sometimes you got to make sure that you are investing in your family. Number three, invest in your future. Psalm 27:12 says this. It says that the prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. What does that mean? That means a prudent man looks into the future and sees there's something coming up. I've got to make preparations for it right now. Invest into your future. Investing into your future could mean a lot of different things. I'll talk about this in just a second, but you need to understand that there's always something coming. You got to be ready for it. So whenever you're making out your financial plan, make sure you're investing into the kingdom, you're investing into your family, and you're investing into your future. Those are the three purposes your money needs to have. All right, the number two thing that a plan does for you is it gives you provision. Provision. If you looked at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, it talks about the ant, right? Not the ant like your Aunt Lizzie, but the ant. I had an aunt named Aunt Fat one time. Everybody's like, that is so mean. She called herself that. Aunt Devona, I think was her real name. I don't know. Her husband's name was Lim, and they had a Lim Jr. And old Lim got crazy and started sighting his gun in, trying to shoot bugs on his wall, and was shooting straight through his house into his daughter's house. She had to call the cops on her own daddy. That has nothing to do with the message. I just like Fat and Lim. They're just two great names of my family. So anyways, the point is, whenever you have a plan, The plan gives your money purpose. The second thing a plan does is it gives you provision. And the Bible talks about the ant, and it says that the ant will go about in the summertime and store up his food supplies so that when the winter comes, he's got plenty. And it says if the ant can do that without a commander, without someone telling him what to do, why can't we learn from the ant? We need to learn to make sure we've got provision for what's coming. That's investing into your future, kind of a repeat there. Can I give you a couple of things that you need to have provision for? Number one, you need to have provision for emergencies. We've all had emergencies in our life. At some point or another, no matter how great your car is, it will break down. I've had that happen to me plenty of times. That little card in your wallet that says Visa or MasterCard or Discover is not an emergency card. That will cause you to have more emergencies. You need to save money for an emergency. I think it's smart to always have, if at all possible, $1,000 that you can have access to just in case. My wife and I have done that before, and we hate to spend it. But we will store up $1,000, and then next thing you know, as soon as we get it all stored up, the car will break down. It's just how it happens. You spend the $1,000, get your car fixed. But can I tell you something that doesn't happen? I don't feel guilt or shame when it comes to that because I have provision in my house for an emergency. Let me tell you something else about that, about having provision. Christmas. You need to have provision for Christmas. A lot of us go way above and beyond what we should be spending for Christmas. But when you have a plan, you have provision. A plan provides you provision. Listen, Christmas comes the same time every year. Isn't there a song about that? Christmas comes this time each year. Remember that song? I'm listening to 96.5 every day in my car with my daughter because she loves Christmas music. So every day I listen to Christmas music. And most of the time, it's repeat songs. So anyways, there is a song that says that. But the fact is, Christmas comes December 25th. No matter what you say or do, it's going to come that time every year. If you don't plan for Christmas to come, when Christmas gets here, you're going to blow your budget out of the water. You're going to overspend, and then you won't have any emergency money. You won't have any money for your kids to have food on the table. Your lights will be turned off, but you will have the best Christmas presents in the world. You just won't be able to see them. Right? So it's important that you remember that. One of the things my wife and I like to do is we like to set aside a little bit of money every month and put that towards Christmas. We get one of those zip bags from Walmart and we throw a little bit of money in there. We write Christmas on it. And that way when Christmas comes, we don't feel guilty or shameful. We just get our money out. We go to the store, we buy it, and then we go home. And we don't spend more than what's in that little bag, except for me. And sometimes I save up a little side money, and I always overspend a little bit on Perry, and she hates it. But I think it's funny, so I do it. Anything that you can think about in the future that you need provision for, set aside money for it, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The third thing that a plan does for you is a plan helps you with your priorities. So the first thing is purpose. Second thing is provision. The third thing is priorities. Psalm 112, verse 5 again, it says, he will guide his affairs with discretion. That word discretion there means to be prudent, economical, sensible, wise. Have priorities. You can look at your stuff. One of the things I encourage you to do is look at what you spend money on. Set priorities in your life. When I set up my financial plan every month, I already told you my top priority is giving. My next priority is savings. I want to make sure that I'm saving money. That way, if the tax man ever calls, I'm ready for him, right? So I save money. And then the next priority for me is my house. I want to make sure that I still have a home. I want to make sure that I've got lights turned on, that I've got, you know, all of my bills paid. But you know what? I've got little things in my list that go in my plan that are pretty far down on the list that aren't priorities. Cable is not a priority to me. I like having it because I love watching sports. But it's about to be the time of year when I could turn it off and be okay. Now come next August, I won't be able to do that. I'm just going to be honest. It moves up the priority list a little bit. Or I'll be coming to your house a lot watching football. But you need to set yourself some priorities so that you know if things get tight, you know what you can cut out. You've got to set a priority. And so whenever you make a plan, you set priorities in your life. This is good for any aspect of your life. You got to make sure that you're setting up priorities. I want to make sure that my kids have daycare. That's a priority to me, right? So you set things up as priorities because we want to have discretion. And the fourth thing that a plan does for you is it protects. A plan protects your money. It protects your money from you. Some of you, like me, are the spenders in the family. Perry's the saver, I'm the spender. I love to spend money. I love it. Perry loves to save money. It drives me crazy. But she does it, and I'm thankful that she does it. Many of you guys know that I've got a motorcycle, and people think, well, good Lord, how do you have a motorcycle? You guys must make a lot of money. No, it's because she saves money. That girl will find money in the house and stash it away, and she hides it from me because one time she was hiding money, and I found it, and I spent it. I'm not even going to lie. I'm not even going to try and make it sound good. I straight up spent her money. That's probably stealing. I told Gerald this morning I wasn't a thief, but apparently I am. The point is, having a plan protects you, and it protects your money. One of the things my parents, my mama used to say, I'd ask for toys, I'd ask for bicycle, I'd ask for whatever. My mom used to say, we don't have the money for that. And my dad finally told her, he said, don't you ever say that again. He said, you tell the kids, it's not in our budget to buy that, but we have the money for it. He said, because you're making our kids think we're poor. And he said, it's not that we're poor, we're just smart. See, there's a difference. When you have a plan, it protects you. Now, all of a sudden, whenever someone asks you to go out to eat and you know you don't have the money to go out to eat, instead of you saying, you know what, I'm just broke right now, I can't do it. No, it's not that you're broke. It's not a priority. It's not in your plan. You don't have the money set aside for that. So you go home and eat your mac and cheese and save money. Amen? So whenever you have a plan, a financial plan, it gives your money purpose. It guides it. It directs it. It gives your money, it helps you to have provision for whenever things get lean, and we all know they will. It gives you the opportunity to have priorities in your life, and then it helps you, a plan helps protect you from yourself and from other people. It helps protect what you've got going on. Let me give you a few things real quickly, just talk about a plan. If you don't mind, if you've got my budget, do you have my budget, at least the first part of it? You could throw it up on the screen. You can't see it. Here's what I'm going to do. I had a problem with the printer this week. I'm going to get everybody a sample of my budget. I don't put any numbers in it, so you can write in your own numbers. But I'm going to get you a sample of my budget, how I put it together. And some of you don't need it, and that's fine. But some of you may like it. And I'm going to have it for you either by Wednesday night and probably next Sunday. I'll just keep them over there. And we'll let everybody have a look at that so you can just give you a guide on how to do your money. But the number one thing you need to do with a plan is you need to write it down. Plans do not work in your head. I don't care how smart you are, you will forget. Write it down, type it up. I type mine up on an Excel spreadsheet, and that's where I keep mine. So on my computer, at any moment, if you know where to go, you can go look at my personal budget and change all the numbers, and then I'll be broke. The second thing you need to do besides writing it down, because listen, on writing it down, the Bible says this. It said they didn't have a vision and therefore they perished. The Old Testament, the Bible says, God tells the man, he says, take the vision, write it down, make it plain so everybody can see it. Amen. Why? Because it's important for people to see what's happening. You need to write down your budget. That's how you give your budget, give your money a purpose, because you've written it down and you say, this is it right here. The second thing is you need to partner up. If you've got a spouse, you need to work with your spouse. There's no sense in one spouse handling all the money all the time. That makes no sense. Let me tell you why. Because eventually, that spouse is going to die. And when that spouse dies, now you're left not having a clue how to work the money. That happens all the time. I talk to people all the time. Well, my husband left, and now I don't even know how to balance a checkbook. You got to both work together. With me and Perry, we work together. I make up the budget by myself. I do that part. She pays all the bills by herself. But in between those two actions, we come together. And I say, here's the budget. Here's the plan. Here's the priority list. She says, okay, I'll take that and I'll go pay the bills. We work together. We are partners. If you say, I don't have a spouse to help me, then you need to get you an accountability partner, somebody that can help you with your plan, your financial plan. Why? Because it will help you not to have bad priorities. Somebody will look at your priority list and they'll say, man, you got all this stuff on here. You got all this money going towards clothes and you don't have near enough money going towards groceries. You're going to wither up and die. Then you won't need the clothes. Make sure you get somebody that helps you out with that. So you need to write it down. You need to partner up. You need to test drive it. The first time you put together a financial plan, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to make it work. Whenever I first did a budget, Perry and I first started working on this, the first month, we busted it all to pieces. It was awful. Crash and burn. The second month, we did better, but we still crashed and burned. It took us probably 3 or 4 months of continuing, staying with the process, writing it down, figuring it out, and until we finally got something that works. And now, my financial plan, I don't even hardly think about it. I just go in and look at it, reprint it, copy it over from 1 month to the next. Unless something changes in our money, and then I'll go in and make some adjustments. But for the most part, it flows the way it's supposed to flow now, and we haven't missed a bill in I don't know how long. We haven't bounced a check in, goodness gracious, I don't know how long. Because we have a plan. We haven't felt guilty or shameful about our spending. We're debt free except for our house. Why? Because we got a plan. Not because we're rich. We paid off a truck one time that we had, not because we were rich. We weren't making hardly any money. And we just decided to make a plan and stick to it and set money aside. We paid off my vehicle and got ourselves debt-free completely except for our house. That's a good feeling. It's a real good feeling. And right now, we're on pace to pay off our house in, like, I don't know, 12 years. So, I mean, we're working the plan. Stay with it. The fourth thing is you need to have all the details written in. I write down everything. I don't think that... This is going to sound legalistic. I'm not being legalistic at all, though. I don't think cigarettes are a good investment. I really don't. Not only are they bad for your health, but they cost a whole lot of money. When it comes, and you can find better places to put that money. But I'm going to be honest with you. If you're a smoker, I would write that in. If you buy a pack a week or a pack a day, then you need some more help than I can give you. But if you buy that much cigarettes, you need to write that in your plan. Because let me tell you why. At the end of the day, you're going to end up with no money and lung cancer, and you're going to wonder where all your money went to pay for your doctor bills. Amen? Write it all down. I write down everything. I put in there even money for me to spend. I give myself every month a little bit of money, a little pocket change, so I can spend it. Why? Because I don't want to bust any other part of my plan. I don't want to take any of my other investments away from my kids or my family or my future. So I give myself a little bit of money that I can spend on whatever I want. If I want to go to the store and buy me a Coke, I can do it. Why? Because I got that little bit of money set aside. So take care of all the details. Make sure you put everything in your plan that you need to say. And before you email me saying you're promoting cigarettes, I really wasn't. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, write it all down. Write it all down. As a matter of fact, whenever you start writing down the details, you're going to discover there's some things in your life you need to get rid of. Perry and I started writing down all the details. We started looking at how much money do we need to spend on food. We looked at how much money we were spending on groceries. You can go to the bank. You can ask the bank to give you a printout of all your spending, and it'll show you every store you stop at. And I said, I want to see how much money I'm spending. And I looked at how much money I was spending on food because I was trying to figure out my groceries and all that. I discovered that in 1 month, we spent over $600 on fast food restaurants. $600. You know what you can do with $600? So we started taking that money and putting it into groceries and putting it other places. And I just said, at the end of the day, it is not godly for me to spend $600 on fast food restaurants. This is a long time ago. It's not recent. So I give myself about $50 a month right now that I can spend on fast food restaurants. If we're out and about, want to go out to eat. If I want to take Perry out to eat, it can't be real expensive. We can go for $50. Because I just said it was not godly for me to do. So I put in all the details. The last two things you need to know about having a plan is operate on cash as much as possible. Let me tell you why you need to operate on cash as much as possible. Well, at least for me. If I use a card, I can spend on a card a lot easier than I'll spend cash. Because a card's not real. It's a game, right? I go up and they say $100. I'll swipe that card. It doesn't hurt my feelings at all. Swipe that card. I don't know how much money's in the bank. I just swipe my cards. Beep, beep, beep. Good to go. But if they say $100 and I've got cash and I have to pull out a $100 bill, I talk to that $100 bill before I give him away. I say, buddy, we've had a good run. Now it's time for you to go. I was talking to this couple about money, and I told them, I said, whenever I do my cash, when I get cash out every month to be able to spend, and I did it this month, the banker said, how do you want your money broken up? I said, the biggest bills I can work with. I said, because I know this. You give me a $5 bill, that baby's gone. $5 jump out of my pocket. But you give me a $50 bill, I'll think about it another day. Just y'all hold on to your Coke. I'm going to come back. I really can drink water at the house. You know what I'm saying? You just don't want to break those big bills. There's just something about it in my psychology. I just can't figure out. I just don't like to break big bills. I like Mr. Benjamin. He's a good guy. Let's keep him together as much as we can. It helps you to save your money. I take my money and I bust it up into little envelopes, and I look like a fool sometimes. I walk up in the store and I pull out an envelope that says Christmas on it. I open up that envelope and I give the lady some money. I'm sure she's wondering, that is a cheap son of a gun. He doesn't even have a wallet. He's got a white envelope. I don't care. I got Christmas and I'm not going in debt over it. My kids are provided for. My wife is provided for. And I don't go into debt. Why? Because I take care of my money. I've got a plan. The last thing is this that you need to know today as far as your money is concerned is you need to get out of debt. The Bible says this. It says that the borrower is slave to the lender. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to be a slave to anybody. Right now, I'm currently a slave to the bank that owns my house. But I'm getting out of that. I'm going to work very diligently to get out of that. I was a slave at one point to whoever had the loan on my Ford truck. I got put in the hospital, had a growth on my heart. They're in there doing surgery on me, cutting me open, got a big old scar on my side. You know what my wife was doing? Paying off my truck. Steady. She's like, well, Gabriel's not home to eat more food. I'll just take that money. Insurance is paying for the surgery. I'll just take a little bit more money here. The whole time she's giving money to the bank trying to pay off that truck. I get out of the hospital and she says, babe, this is what I did. And I was so excited. We looked at our bank account. And we had just a little bit of money in our bank account. We had just enough money in our bank account to be able to, if we wiped out our bank account, save $1,000 that we wanted to save for an emergency fund. We wiped out our bank account that year at Christmas time. We wiped it out in December of 2007 and sent it all to the bank and paid my truck off completely. And then we called my parents and called her parents and her brothers and sisters and my brother, and we let them know, listen, this year at Christmas, you're not going to get much from us because we don't have a lot of money. But we don't have any debt either. And we just told them, I said, this year it is what it is. What did I do? I made a sacrifice. Sacrificed my pride. It hurt a little bit. But at the end of the day, I was driving that truck around with a big old smile on my face because I didn't owe anybody for it. Get yourself out of debt as quickly as you possibly can. If you need help with any of this stuff, I've got office hours. You can call the office. You can talk to me. I would love to sit down and talk to anybody about your finances, how I can help you. We've got trustees that can help you. We've got a trustee meeting next Wednesday night. And so we're going to be meeting. And as a matter of fact, I've encouraged our trustees this next year to start a financial small group to help people with their finances. I feel like it's important to get you out of debt. It takes a spiritual weight off of your shoulders. And so anything I can do to help you, I promise you I'll be here to help you with that. Let me just end today with this thought. And the thought is this, out of Jeremiah 29:11, God has a plan for you. We talked about us having a plan for our money. Can I tell you, God's got a plan for you? At the end of the day, God's got a plan for your life. He's got a destiny and a purpose for you. And being a slave to finances is not a part of that. He wants you to be blessed. But God's got a plan for you. And His plan gives you purpose. It gives you destiny. His plan, just like our money, His plan gives you provision. He provided a son to die on a cross. He provided a perfect sacrifice for your sins and my sins today. God's plan provided priorities. Priorities. I think it's so cool that Jesus is praying at the very end and He says, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus looks and He sees the plan of God and He realizes there are some priorities here that I've got to live in. And then His plan protects. His plan protects. The Bible says that Jesus, at various times in His life, people would come to stone Him or kill Him, and He would say, it's not my time, and He would walk right through the crowd. He would slip out unharmed until it was His time. God's plan protected Jesus until He needed to be used for His purpose. It's just like what we talked about today. Can I tell you something else the Bible says about protection? The Bible says that whenever you and I pay our tithe, that we are protected from the devourer. The Bible says this about protection, that His blood, His Son, protects us from sin. The Bible says you'll be tempted, but He protects us from having to fall into that. He always provides us a way out. God has a plan for your life and my life today, and financial slavery is not a part of that. Why don't you close your eyes with me today?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.